Are you tired of feeling like you have no purpose? You don't know where you're going in life? You feel like maybe you need to find your destiny, you know? Maybe you need to find what you are made for. Why not embark on a journey? Right here on Food for Thought with Pastor Gavin and Pastor Vicky Anslin.
What I want us to talk about today is Christmas from Africa. And what we're talking about is Christmas, looking at the blood of faithfulness. The blood of faithfulness is the blood that was shed by Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, when everything inside of him did not want to go through and take the cup that he was about to take. Everything inside of him wanted to say, no, you know, this suffering is too much for me. The anxiety that was caused by that suffering was so great that his sweat became like drops of blood, according to the Gospel of Luke. And so that was the first place that Jesus shed his blood. The first place where Jesus bled was in the Garden of Gethsemane. And imagine that you're so stressed out that your sweat turns to blood. And what I want you to realize is that when we come and we apply the blood of faithfulness, then no matter how dark our days may become, no matter how challenging our circumstances may be, no matter what we may be going through, no matter how hectic things may be, when we come there and we apply the blood of faithfulness, then we exchange our lack of faithfulness for the faithfulness of Jesus, who, when he took the cup, and what was so difficult about that cup was that it contained all of the sin of humanity. Your sin, my sin, all the sin of humanity was inside that cup. And not only was he going to become guilty of that sin, the Bible says he became that sin. He became that sin, and he faced the full wrath of the Father. And this is more hectic than what we can ever even begin to imagine. And so, the evening started with a betrayal. The betrayal of Judas. But you know, the first time that Jesus was betrayed was a long time before this. And I want us to look at Matthew chapter 2, verse 13 to 15, which says, and now we're talking about Joseph and Mary. When they had gone, an angel appeared to Joseph in a dream. Get up, he said. Take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child and to kill him. So he got up. He took his child and he took the mother. And he took his child and his mother during the night and left for Egypt, where he stayed until the death of Herod. And so was fulfilled what the Lord had said through the prophet, out of Egypt I called my son. I want you to think about something. Out of Egypt I called my son, the Lord says. Out of Africa I called my son. That's actually what that means. They would have you believe that, we came from monkeys. They would have you believe that the cradle of humankind is there near Hartebeespoort Dam. And I want to tell you, no, out of Egypt was the Son of God called after people were created in the image of Almighty God to save mankind. But I want you to think about Herod. Herod is going to search for the child to kill him. You know, in a similar manner to what the Jesus, when he's still a little baby, experiences there, he had an enemy, a physical enemy in King Herod. You know, you have an enemy. And just like what Herod wanted to do to Jesus, your enemy is out to destroy you. You see, the ultimate enemy, Satan, was using Herod. And he wanted to destroy this young child because he knew what the scripture said, that through this young child was going to come salvation to all mankind. And this enemy is out to destroy you too. He's out to destroy every aspect of your life. He's out to destroy your life with sickness. He's out to destroy your life economically. He's out to destroy your life by destroying your relationships. He's out to destroy your life by tragedies. He's out to destroy your life by taking your self-image and tearing it apart. I want you to think about this picture, because yeah, we have King Herod. He is the king of the Jews. And Jesus was born a Jew. In other words, from an earthly perspective, in terms of being an earthly king, King Herod was Jesus' king. King Herod was Jesus' Cyril Ramaphosa. And yeah, his own king gets threatened by him, because he's not just the king of Israel, he is the king of all kings. His own kind, the king of his own kind, The king of his own people is searching for him to kill him. I want to ask you, what greater betrayal is there than this? How can you be betrayed worse than this? This betrayal is so bad that just because of who you are, just because of the calling of the Father in heaven on your life, the king wants to kill you. And how many of you, maybe you felt betrayal from your own kind? From people that you thought loved you. From people that you thought had your back. And what I want you to realize is that when you have this kind of betrayal, there is a curse that is associated with it. And this curse is why we've been looking at the blood of Jesus that was shed in the Garden of Gethsemane. When we come and we apply this blood to our lives today, because that blood that Jesus shed in the Garden of Gethsemane is still alive today for anyone who will put their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And when we come and we apply that blood, we exchange our unfaithfulness. We exchange the unfaithfulness of everyone in our world. We exchange the unfaithfulness of people like King Herod in our lives for the faithfulness of Jesus. And when we do this, we cancel all curses resulting in all unfaithfulness in our lives. The unfaithfulness that we've done, where we've been unfaithful. The unfaithfulness of those who've betrayed us. We've been looking the last few months a lot at the blood of Jesus. And the blood of Jesus is important from a verse that you should know very well right now. We've mentioned it many times, Revelation 12 verse 11. It says, and they defeated him, and the him here is the devil. They defeated him by the blood of the Lamb and by their testimony. They did not love their lives so much that they were afraid to die. Now, who is the they that this verse is referring to? Because what this verse is referring to is that there's a war going on involving the archangel Michael and the angels who are fighting Satan and the demon Satan known as the great dragon. There's this war that's going on. And at the end of the day, it says, how did Michael and all the other angels win the spiritual battle? How is the spiritual battle of the ages? How is the spiritual battle of all of eternity won? What I want you to realize is that the adversary who's spoken there in Revelation 12 has been the great dragon. Before he fell, he was the cherub that looked after the temple, the very throne room of Almighty God. He was very close to God. He was a cherub, and then he fell to become Satan, to become Lucifer, to become the devil, to become our adversary. He's our adversary because we are created in the image of God. And the devil fell because when God created man, he disagreed with God's decision to create someone in his image. And so now he is the enemy of the whole world. And he is the enemy who has deceived the whole world. And so now how did Michael and all the other angels defeat him? How does Revelation say they defeat him? The enemy who deceived the whole world was overcome by the believers. I want you to understand that Jesus has worked things in such a way that you are the weapon, the spiritual weapon that is going to be used in order to overcome the enemy. The Lord uses us. I want you to understand that your faith is incredibly important. Your faith is not just important for your life. Your faith is important for all of eternity. Who are the believers? The believers are those of us that have been redeemed by the blood of Jesus. And how did they overcome the enemy? How did all these angels win the spiritual battle? How do they win? They win, first of all, by the blood of the Lamb. You see, everything starts with the blood of Jesus. The source of all victories. The source of all our deliverance. The source of all our provision. The source of our life. Everything comes by the blood of the Lamb. Without the blood of Jesus, we have no rights to anything. And then, not only did the angels overcome Satan and all of his demons by the blood of the Lamb, but by the word of the testimony of the believers. And what is this testimony? It's a testimony of what the blood of Jesus has done for you. The spiritual battle of the ages will be won by believers testifying, this is what the blood of Jesus has done for me. The spiritual battle is won when I'm facing a situation right now and I testify to where the blood of Jesus has already delivered me. And I bring that straight into the face of this current situation. And then it says also, they did not love their lives so much that they were afraid to die. In other words, they were faithful. They were faithful. Now, what is this thing called faithfulness? We start off looking at Deuteronomy 7 verse 9. Therefore, know that the Lord your God, He is God, the faithful God, who keeps covenant and mercy for 1,000 generations with those who love Him and keep His commandments. I want you to understand that all faithfulness emanates from God. We have no faithfulness to offer God. All the faithfulness emanates from Him. And so what is the word faithful? You know, the word faithful means many different things to many different people. And Jesus defined faithful in Matthew 24 verse 45. It says, who is the one qualified to oversee the master's house? Who is the one that is qualified to be a leader in the church? He will be a, listen to this, reliable servant who is wise and faithful, one he can depend on. I want you to think about that. Faithful means you're reliable. Faithful means you're a servant. Faithful means that you are one who can be depended on. That is what this means. You are one that can be dependent on. You are one that people know, hey, you're going to be there. No matter what, you're going to be there. You are dependable. People can lean on you and they will not fall down. That's what it means to be faithful. If you disappear, if you sneak out, if you ditch people, that's not faithful. Faithful means people can trust that what you say is what you'll do. And then it says the master will want to give him the responsibility of overseeing others in his house. The master will want to give you, in the master's house, that's the church, he will want to give you the responsibility of overseeing others in his house. In his house. In the church, the Lord wants to give you the responsibility. And someone who is faithful is someone who is responsible. Someone who takes responsibility. Someone who accepts responsibility. Even when they're facing significant challenges for themselves. Even if they're facing a tough time. Even for them, Christmas may be a tough time. They're responsible. And you know, just thinking about Christmas being a tough time and stuff, I remember the Christmas, particularly for me, of 2014. We'd lost my brother-in-law in November. It was hectic. The whole scenario that happened was hectic. Everything that happened was hectic. And it really affected Vix. So it was a hectic time. But you know, the Lord helped us to continue to be responsible. And even in that time, people would come and complain to us about their problems. People would come and share their challenges. And you know, when you'll open your life up to the Lord like that, He will give you the strength to go through it. And as you're ministering to others, He gives you the healing power to overcome your own situation. It says, the master wants to give him the responsibility of overseeing others in his house, for his servant will lead them well and give them food at the right time. I want you to understand that faithfulness is an attitude. And this attitude is the attitude of those who say they have faith in God. And so looking at this, we're faithful at all times. We're faithful at night. Listen to Psalm 92 verse 2. To declare your loving kindness in the morning and your faithfulness every night. Every night I declare your faithfulness. I'm not focused on my faithfulness. I'm focused on your faithfulness. And then I come to the cross and there's an exchange that happens. I receive your faithfulness. And what I want you to realize, I'm faithful because I know that ultimately, the ultimate in faithfulness is God. He's the ultimate. And it's only when I apply the blood of Jesus that I can become faithful. I cannot become faithful without what Jesus has done for me. I cannot become faithful without my faith. It is impossible. You can try and be faithful till the cows come home. You will never be faithful unless you start really putting your faith and your trust in Jesus, what He did for you on the cross, and what His blood has won for you. And that you exchange, there's an exchange, your character for His. Because it requires a character change. And we see Daniel, who received a character change like this in Daniel chapter 6, verse 4. Listen to how faithful Daniel was in a place where, listen, he's operating in exile. It says, then the other administrators and our officers began searching for some fault in the way Daniel was handling government affairs, but they couldn't find anything to criticize or condemn. We say if the government is unjust, you steal from them. Daniel, living under an unjust government, they could not find one thing to criticize or condemn him. He was faithful, always responsible, and completely trustworthy. You see, there's the definition that Jesus gave. He was faithful, which means he was always responsible and completely trustworthy. And so eventually they come up with a thing and they go to the king and they say, you should make a rule where no one should worship anyone but you. And if they do, they should be killed. They con the king, who depends on Daniel, to make this law and seal it with his royal decree, which means it cannot be reversed. And then we see in Daniel chapter 6, verse 10, it says, but when Daniel learned of the law that had been signed, he went home and knelt down as usual in his upstairs room with the windows open towards Jerusalem. He prayed 3 times a day, listen to this, just as he had always done, giving thanks to God. His circumstances didn't change his prayer. He still prayed with his windows open. He didn't hide it and go into his toilet and pray. He prayed exactly as he had. And then it says in verse 16, so at last the king gave orders for Daniel to be arrested and be thrown into the den of lions. The king said to him, may your God whom you serve faithfully rescue you. So now Daniel gets a death sentence and he must be executed by lion eating. And then we see in verse 20 that the Lord indeed rescued Daniel. And it says in verse 20, when he got there, this is the king, he called out in anguish, Daniel, servant of the living God, was your God whom you serve so faithfully able to rescue you from the lions? Daniel answered, imagine a whole night there with his hungry lions, eh? And he goes there in anguish, he's thinking, no, this sucks in pieces. And the next thing he hears, Daniel answering, long live the king. My God sent his angel to shut the lion's mouths so that they would not hurt me. For I have been found innocent in his sight, and I have not wronged you, your majesty. The king was overjoyed and ordered that Daniel be lifted from the den. Not a scratch was found on him, for he had trusted God. Now, in order to be faithful like this, you need to be careful who you listen to. Because people are going to give you all sorts of reasons not to trust God. And look at what happened with Jesus in Mark chapter 5, verse 35. It says, and before he had finished speaking, people arrived from Jairus' house and pushed through the crowd and gave Jairus the news. There's no need to trouble the master any longer. Your daughter has died. And then it says, but Jesus refused to listen. When people come with bad news, you need to refuse to listen. When the enemy comes and puts bad news in your ears, you need to refuse to listen. Okay, and it says, but Jesus refused to listen to what they were told and said to the Jewish official, don't yield to fears. All you need to do is to keep on believing. At the end of the day, if you want to be faithful, you've got to trust God. At the end of the day, your faithfulness and the level of your faithfulness is determined by your level of faith and how much you continue to believe God, no matter what your circumstances, no matter what it is that you may be going through. But in order for you to be faithful, you've got to have a new nature and you've got to partake in Christ's nature. And if you look at Hebrews chapter 3, verse 1 and 2 from the Message, it says, so, my dear Christian friends, companions in following this call to the heights, this is the call of God. Take a good hard look at Jesus. I want you to take a good hard look at Jesus. He is the centerpiece of everything we believe. He is the centerpiece. Okay, everything that we believe is around Jesus. He's the centerpiece of everything we believe. Faithful in everything God gave him to do. Moses was also faithful. Jesus was faithful even when he's there holding the cup containing all of our sin, the cup of circumstances. His circumstances are so bad that he's so anxious that blood's coming out of his sweat glands. He is faithful in everything. Even when God gave him the call to die, he was faithful to the cross. And then in Hebrews chapter 3, verse 13 and 15, also from the Message, it says, "For as long as it's still God's today, keep each other on your toes so sin won't slow down your reflexes." Amen. Don't talk to me. This is my life. I'll do what I want to do because it's my life. Okay, you're not biblical. You have taken the Bible and you've thrown it out because, yeah, it says, keep each other on your toes so sin doesn't slow down your reflexes. You see, that's what sin does. It blinds you. It puts a mist in front of you. You can't see what's going on. You can't really tell what's going on. And then it says in verse 14, if we can only keep our grip on the sure thing we started out with, we're in this with Christ for the long haul. If only we can keep our grip on our faith, no matter what we're going through, no matter what challenge we're facing. I don't care what you're going through. I don't care. I've been going through a lot the last few months just with this rent of this building. I've been praying for people to dent the rent. You understand what I'm saying? And dent the rent and bend the rent and do anything to rent possible. You understand what I'm saying? And to be honest with you, God gave us an amount. We need that amount. You understand? Well, we've got to pay the rent now in December. We've got to pay it again in January. Amen. End of January. And everyone spent their money on Christmas shopping or whatever, holidays, and they're all broke, you understand? Busted and disgusted and all of that stuff. We need that cash. And yeah, God comes through and does miracles that people are able to give that cash. So you got to keep your faith no matter what your circumstances look like. And then it says in verse 15, these words keep ringing in our ears. Today, please listen. Don't turn a deaf ear as in the bitter uprising. Don't turn a deaf ear. Don't turn away from the good news. Don't turn away from what Jesus has done. And what you need to realize is our problems didn't start with our granny or our mommy or our daddy or with Bill down the road who stole our girlfriend or with Jack up the street who went and took all our money from our bank account or Robbie who came and smashed our faces in or Sipo who came and called us names or whatever it may be. Those aren't our problems. Our problems started with Adam in the Garden of Eden when Adam had a choice and he chose to go against God, to be unfaithful to the command of God. And Jesus faced the same decision. And Jesus faced the same decision as Adam to do his own will instead of living according to the Word of God. And I want you to realize that there are consequences when we do our own thing instead of living according to the Word of God. And the consequences that Adam faced are consequences that we face because of what happened in our lives. If you look at Adam in the Garden of Eden, the whole of human sin started there. Sin in human beings originated there. When Jesus honored God in the Garden of Gethsemane, the redemption of the human race originated there. As sin began in the Garden of Eden, so redemption began in the Garden of Gethsemane. When Jesus had the choice, he could have used 12 legions of angels to save them. He said, "Not my will, but yours be done." Adam in the Garden of Eden despised the cup of blessing. He despised what God had given him. He wanted more. What God gave wasn't enough. And when you want more than what God gives, you mess it up. Jesus chose to drink from the cup of the curse. He chose to drink from the cup of the curse that's associated with our sin. That's why you can declare, and I want you to listen to me. I want you all to look at me. That's why every day you can pray. By the blood of Jesus, I am redeemed from the power of the enemy. I am redeemed from the power of the enemy. No curse can touch me. I have been taken out of the kingdom of darkness and placed in the kingdom of Jesus, the Son of God. He despised the cup of blessing, Adam. Jesus chose to drink from the cup of curse. If you look at Adam, the serpent prevailed against him. The enemy overpowered him. If you look at Jesus, he defeated the serpent. If you look at Adam, he defiled the whole earth with his sin. If you look at Jesus, he blessed the whole earth through his blood. Jesus recovered every blessing. Every blessing is recovered in Christ. I want you to realize that more than anything, every blessing is recovered through the blood of Jesus. Adam ate the fruit of the knowledge of good and evil. Jesus ate the fruit of obedience. Amen. Adam in the Garden of Eden was a man made from the dust of the earth who wanted to be like God. Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane was the Word of God. God had chosen to become man so that he could take our place and carry out our punishment. How much must Jesus love you to do that for you? Just really think about that for a second. Adam disappointed God. God was crying out after that ate the fruit and said, Adam, where are you? Adam, I created you to have a relationship with me. Where are you? Jesus brought joy to the Father's heart. Look at some of the curses that came through Adam. The curse of poverty, the curse of sickness, the curse of death, the curse of shame. Through Jesus, poverty is replaced with blessing. Sickness is replaced with health. Death is replaced with life. Shame is replaced with glory.
Hey guys, listen. Word on the street is that the new Active Worship Inception album is out.
What?
Get it on Spotify and iTunes. Inception, going back to the original.
Oh,
breaking through.